So it's really good to see all of you, as always, and it's a delight to be here with you. And I want to read from the book of Isaiah. And I just wonder if anybody has the New International Version. You have the New International? All right. So we could do this one of two ways, John. You could either read it for me, or I'll read it myself, but borrow your Bible. Okay, go on. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 27 to 31. And that's good you're reading it, because I can compare it to the King James here.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Thank you so much, sir. What powerful reading. And what powerful words. And in the King James, the last verse says, but they that wait upon the Lord. And I'll not make the mistake when I'm preaching from one version to bring a different version to read from. All right? Okay, so if you want a topic for this passage, I am calling it the renewal of the eagle. All right? That's what I'm calling it, the renewal of the eagle. And let's get straight into the text. These verses open with God posing some questions at verse 27. Jacob, which is Israel, why do you complain? Israel, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord? And why do you disregard my cause or my rights? These are the questions that God posed. And these are God's people, the Israelites. But they are not happy because things are not going their way. And to make it worse, Isaiah has been talking about captivity and exile, Babylonian. They are not happy. I want you to look at two words here. The words complain and the words say. You complain and you say. And when you look at the Hebrew tense in which these words are, they are in the continuous tense. Now I have to tell you, I'm no expert in grammar and tenses and all of that, right? So I'm kind of repeating to you some of my research here, okay? So they are in the continuous tense. And what it means is that these people, God's people, they are not happy and they are continually complaining to God. Continually accusing God of letting them down. We are God's people, aren't we? And after all these years of prayers and service, questions. Lord, why haven't you sent revival? Why are these health conditions affecting me, my family? Why, Lord, no matter how hard we try, there is no lasting positive growth? We are doing what you told us to do, and yet we don't see the miracles you said would happen. Real questions that lurk in the hearts of believers. Real questions. And if they are not dealt with, they sap your strength and erode the essence of your faith. So, how does God deal with this? There is tension in his family, tension among his children. So notice what God does. He takes their disappointment, questions that are lurking in their hearts, and he brings it out into the open. He brings their disappointment into the open by asking them and asking us, why do you complain? Why do you say my way is hidden? Why do you say that I disregard your rights? There is tension in the family of God. And God isn't asking these questions to condemn his children. He is asking these questions to comfort them. And you ask me, how do I know that? Well, if you go to Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort, comfort ye my people. That's why he's raising these questions, to comfort them, build up their faith. But God doesn't just ask them these questions. God answers the questions himself. You know, when you're tired and weary, the last thing you want to do is to give answers to some questions. Yeah. So he asks a tired people some questions, and he's going to answer them himself. And he answers the questions by reminding them first of certain truths about himself. So here are the truths that he reminded them of. They can be found in verse 28. The Lord is the everlasting God. That doesn't need explanation, although I could have a whole sermon on it. The second one, the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. I don't think that needs an explanation either. We could have another sermon on that. God formed and gave you life. He formed you in your mother's womb, and he gave you life. And then he redeems you by the death and resurrection of his own son, Jesus Christ, and infused new life into you, born from above by his Spirit. Creator of the ends of the earth. The Lord, thirdly, does not grow tired and weary. To me, that is an indication that he's not just our creator, but if he doesn't grow tired and weary, it assures me of the fact that he can sustain me forever. Yeah? My creator, my sustainer. And no one fathom his understanding. And yes, we try to understand the mind of God, but the mind of God is limitless and beyond human comprehension. And these are four facts that the Israelites already know. And I want you to note that when their faith being eroded, and when they are discouraged and there is tension to build up their faith, God doesn't appear and reveal to them some new marvelous truths. What he does is to take the truths that they already know and remind them of those truths. Truths like we should be reminded of as much as we can, that in Christ he came, in Christ he died, rose from the dead, provided salvation, and all those who come through him shall be saved. Truths everlasting forever and ever. All right. So he's reminded his people about these truths about himself. And then he reminds them of certain truths about themselves and us. And that's where we go to verses 29 and 30. So let me read it for you. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Now I want you to notice the words that God used. Weary, weak, tired, stumble, fall. And that is us at our best. Yeah? Even youths or people, when you look at the Hebrew, even youths or selected, specially selected people. People selected for their strength and human endurance. You know, like they choose the best of the best for the Olympics. That's the picture here. Even youths are people specially selected. The best of people. Even they become weary. They stumble and fall. Which makes you wonder, what is it like for the rest of us? God gives, he says, God gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. And that word gives is a very significant word. It indicates an action of God towards his people by giving, not simply here is something, take it. It indicates an action of God in which God gives himself. That's what he's saying here. He gives himself to his people. This is not some kind of super celestial injection in which an exhausted Christian goes into some kind of instant bionic overdrive. The strength and power of God that God gives is by giving himself. And it is in receiving God that we get strength and power and are renewed in strength and power. And the more we receive of him, the more strength and more power and more renewal. That's the key here. Not just something he gives. It is God himself. So, this is the point at which I show you something. This is my letterhead. Can you see it? Yeah. Yeah, that's the letterhead. See it? Absolutely boring. But it was in black and white and I upgraded to color recently. And this is my card. And it's the same picture, but it's on a card. All right. And it's an eagle. And if you were to have a close look at it, it's got Isaiah 40:31 under it. Yeah? Those who trust, wait on the Lord, will rise on wings like eagles. Right, so I've had that now over 25 years. And for some reason in my house, I've got three sets of eagles on wooden plaque, massive ones, nesting eagles, etc., from South America. And you are thinking, well, he's preached this sermon umpteen times before. Believe it or not, I've never preached on this text before until today. And I'm not quite sure why I put the eagle, except that I came across the verse and loved it so much. Yeah? And that's all there was to it. So I've never preached on this text until now. It's on its maiden journey. And the strange thing is that I had started to prepare one sermon, and by Wednesday, because I tend to talk to God and ask him, you know, to lead me, and it didn't feel that that was the right sermon. So I had to make the switch. And here we are. So after being reminded of certain truths about God, truths of ourselves, and how God gives us strength, we now come to one of the most exhilarating statements contained in the Bible. A statement that paints a vibrant picture that stimulates the faculties of the mind. And it is that verse in verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Don't you feel like just shout praise to him like eagles that open their mouths and sing praises to their creator? Yes. Let me ask you a question. To me, isn't this the wrong way around? It seems to be the wrong way around. Look, first we're flying, then we're running, then we're walking. What comes next? Grind to a standstill? Why does God put it in this order? Fly, run, walk. Why? Well, let me suggest this to you. The strength to keep running and walking comes from ascending into the presence of God. That's why they are in this order. Flying, running, walking. The strength for the running and walking comes by ascending and having fellowship with he who gives not just something, but gives himself. They that wait upon the Lord. The word wait need some explanation for us to appreciate the meaning of what is intended here. Now, if you study the Old Testament, there are five words that are translated wait in the Old Testament. And they mean wait in hope, that's one. Wait silently, that's two. Wait earnestly, that's three. Stand still, that's four. And the fifth one, wait, means to serve. Now, in different contexts, there is a place for each of these. But in Isaiah 40, 31, wait doesn't mean sitting idly or stand and be anxious, like waiting at a bus stop. It is not sitting around and doing nothing. Many years ago, I came across this saying, which I believe you all know also, that good things come to those who wait. There's a second bit to it. Good things come to those who wait, as long as those who wait work while they wait. Yes. Good things come to those who wait, as long as those who wait work while they wait. And that is the meaning intended here. And the example, if you want one, is that of a waiter or a waitress. That's a good one. They serve the customers in the restaurant. Can I help you, madam? Can I help you, sir? What can I get for you? What can I do for you? That's a waiter and a waitress. They serve. And that is the picture here. Isaiah is implying that it is in serving the Lord that we have our strength renewed. It is in being active that we have our strength renewed. And isn't it a paradox that people say if you're going to be renewed, you've got to be so quiet and do nothing and get your energy back up. And God is saying if you want to have more energy, then work more. Glory to God. You want more power, you want more strength, then work more. A serving Christian gets stronger and is renewed more. But we must be clear here that the renewal doesn't come simply by serving. Anybody can serve. Yeah? Anybody can be a waiter or a waitress. But the secret is to be a waiter and a waitress in the name of Christ. To serve in the name of Christ. To serve for the Lord. For the renewal comes not in the serving, but in serving the Lord. The renewal comes from God Himself. So we move to the last part of this text. And the Lord uses the eagle as an example of renewal. And I want to elevate three characteristics of the eagle that can help us to ascend to God and in the process of renewal. So the first one. There is something about the eagle in flying towards the heavens that makes it different from every other bird. One translation says it sets its eyes towards the sun. A human will go blind looking into the sun, but not an eagle. Because an eagle has two sets of eyelids that enable it to gaze directly into the fiery sun without it affecting him. Psalm 84 and verse 11 says that our God is a shield and a sun. We need to know from where our help comes. It comes from Him who is above. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, this is what Paul says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. The righteous people of God learn to look up. God didn't design you to dig a hole and bury your heads in it and say, it's over. God designed you to look up. And there are at least two times when an eagle has an opportunity to look up to the sun, to the heavens. And the first one is this, when a storm comes. Yep, when a storm comes. In the face of a storm, people who observe eagles say that the eagle spreads its wings about 7 to 8 feet wide and challenges the storm. And then uses the energy even of the storm to rise up and up and up and higher until it is lost to sight. It is there in the vast upper realm of light, above all storms, in the great tranquility of the upper space. And whether you are a Christian or not, storms will come. Storms will come, but you don't have to be defeated by the storms. For there is something deep inside of us that inspires us to challenge the storm and use the storm for our benefit and not for the storm to destroy us. For greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the second thing, the opportunity for the eagle to look into the sun is this. The eagle is the king and queen of the air. But the eagle has one natural enemy. What is that? Help me. Humans. All right? Humans. Anybody else? Anything else? Right. The only problem with humans is unless we take an airplane or something and go up there to meet the eagle, we can't find it. So, the natural enemy of the eagle is the condor. The condor has wings that are wider than that of any eagle. Eagle have wings up to 8 feet wide, but condors have wings up to 10 feet wide. And a condor is the world's heaviest bird of prey. It feeds on dead things and it despises eagles. It can catch an eagle in flight, wrap its powerful claws on that eagle, and then just let its weight bring that eagle down. And there is a reason for trying to do this to bring the eagle down. The condor knows that the only way to defeat the eagle is to get it to the ground. It cannot win up there. So it tries to bring it down there to its level. So when the eagle sees the condor coming, it turns and flies towards the sun and the heavens because the condor cannot do that. If the enemy can get you down and get you to stay down, you are a goner. If the devil can get you depressed and keep you depressed, if he can get you down and keep you down, it is only a matter of time before you are a goner. You have to have this attitude. I am either up or I am getting up. And you know, when people ask us how you're doing, we all say, fine, well, let me give you an alternative, right? When they ask you next time how you're doing, why don't you consider saying, I am up, or I am getting up. Yeah, cool. And I believe there are some people right here today who need to get up. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Don't go down to the level of your enemy. Stay up and keep your eyes on the heavens, on the everlasting God. So, second characteristic of the eagle is this. The eagle builds its nest high above the ground out of twigs and feathers and furs. And that nest becomes 5-star. It is the best of nests. The most comfortable and safe. And what is interesting is that the mama eagle goes to hunt and the papa eagle stays with the baby in the nest. Now, I'm not sure what that talks about, but maybe it indicates that women can hunt better than men. I thought of that, but All right, so we'll go for both, right? Then comes the time when Papa and Mama decide it's time to move baby eagle out. So, you know how to do this? They start to deconstruct the nest. Out goes the fur, out goes the feathers, and all of a sudden, it's just twigs. And this baby eagle that was so comfortable, what's happened here? Ouch! It's all very uncomfortable now. And the food stops coming. And many a times when God is getting ready to take you to greater things, he will move you out of your secure and comfort zone and say, come on out here and take a walk on the wild side of life. You have done that long enough, and now we're getting ready to go into a new season. And God starts to pluck the fur out, and it feels uncomfortable. And the daddy eagle takes the baby eagle on its back and flies 15,000 feet in the air and releases the baby eagle, and the poor little thing starts to tumble to earth and thinks it is going to crush and die. And in the nick of time, the daddy eagle scoops it up, and the baby eagle says, "Whew, daddy, what's the matter with you? Thank God you came to your senses and caught me just before I hit the rocks." But before it has time to come to terms, before it has time to come to terms with the first near-death experience, the whole thing starts all over again. And this goes on for several times until this baby eagle realizes that it wasn't born to be comfortable in a nest and to be fed. That was temporary. The baby eagle then realizes that there is a nature, something inside of it that was born to fly. There is a nature in me that wants to fly. But a baby eagle also discovers something else. It discovers that daddy can fly faster than it can fall. And that is why, as it tumbles to the ground, the daddy eagle is able to scoop it up before it crashes to death. Daddy can fly faster than I can fall. Daddy can fly faster than I can fall. And that is why God knew that Adam would sin in the garden, but the lamb was slain long before even Gethsemane. The lamb was slain before the foundation of the world because daddy can fly faster than I can fall. He knew that a famine was coming to Egypt, so he put Joseph there to save them. Daddy can fly faster than I can fall. And he knew that you would lose your job, that you would go through hard times, that you would get a bad medical report, and that it would feel like things are out of control, and it feels like you're falling to your death. But I declare to you here today, our everlasting God can fly faster than we can fall. Put your faith in him and him alone. And so the last and third and last characteristic that I want to share with you is this. Observers of eagles say, over a period of time, the beak of an eagle becomes molded together by calcium deposits. And then its feathers start to fall out. The old glands dry up and it loses weight and it looks sickly. The eagle then plucks out the remaining feathers and then begins to hit that calcium solidified beak viciously against a rock. Observers say it's a bloody and awful process. But eventually, that beak is broken up. The calcium is shattered. The beak falls off. And beneath it, there is a brand new beak. The mouth that was shut is open again. New feathers are growing. All glands are flowing again. It is the renewing of the eagle. The eagle is back. It spreads its wings and launches out as it reclaims the heights. And once more, the king and queen of the air. And it releases a mighty scream and song as if to say, thank you, my creator, for creating me and for renewing me. Here is the interesting thing. The renewal is not a one-off process. This eagle doesn't go through this once in its life. It goes through it several times in its lifespan. Renewal again and again. Has it been a long and hard life for you? It's getting for me. Has it been a hard and long life? Does it feel like you have been in many battles and you're battered and bruised? Serving the Lord, yes, but feeling tired and weary? Does it feel that your praises of the everlasting God has been deteriorating or silenced? Look, be honest to yourself with these questions that lurk in the heart. And if yes, Isaiah would say to you, that you are in the right place and you are the right candidate for a miracle. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The renewal of the eagle, the gathering of God's eagles.